democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. always.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. 1 year after Russia invaded Ukraine, Great Britain has officially commemorated the moment with Big Ben tolling its bell, then a minute of silence at 10 Downing Street. In this country, Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke to the UN Security Council about the human toll.
Over the last year, Russia has killed tens of thousands of Ukrainian men, women, and children, uprooted more than 13 million people from their homes, destroyed more than half of the country's energy grid, bombed more than 700 hospitals, 2,600 schools, and abducted at least 6,000 Ukrainian children, some as young as 4 months old.
China's leader Xi Jinping has called for a ceasefire and peace talks to end the war. Ukraine's President Zelensky says he'll meet with Xi, but doesn't say when or where. In Walterboro, South Carolina, Alec Murdoch is being cross-examined, not just about the murders of his wife and son, but about the money problems prosecutors say led to his killing them.
In liquid funds, is it money on hand or money that I could get?
Money that you could, liquid funds. You're a lawyer, you know what liquid means. Where are
you
running out?
I don't know what you mean by liquid, okay. Mr. Waterson, so.
Money you could readily access, assets that you could readily access to pay your ever-increasing debts.
No, sir, I don't agree with that.
Murdoch says he did a lot of things wrong, but he did not kill his wife and son. Another hotter-than-expected inflation reading. Here's CBS's Jason Brooks.
The government's personal consumption expenditure index, the preferred inflation gauge of the Fed, saw a bigger monthly jump in prices in January, while the annual gain was also stronger than in December at 5.4%. That comes after the consumer and producer price indexes also picked up speed at the start of the year. And Wall Street odds are rising for a half percentage point rate hike from the central bank in March.
The Dow is down 370 points, the NASDAQ down 224. Here in Florida, citrus growers have had a devastating year because of a major hurricane and a disease that's hit citrus trees for decades. That means you'll pay more for orange juice. Here's CBS's Christian Benavides in Miami.
Devastating storms in 2022 stripped trees. Hurricane Ian alone led to $250 million in losses, according to the University of Florida. But growers are facing another major problem called citrus greening disease.
Greening is sort of like cancer. Some live with it, others it gets them in a week.
Greening causes oranges to fall prematurely, and once a tree is infected, there's no cure.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores are a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore more at your local Staples.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Van Nair. Here's what you need to know. Milwaukee will be in the national spotlight in August when it hosts the Republican National Convention, and now the city will feature the first presidential primary debate. To date, only Milwaukee has been chosen to host a debate. Few additional details available at this time. Only two major candidates have come forward to announce their candidacy for the Republican nomination, former President Trump and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. A national manufacturing leader stopped in Wisconsin to talk about the current state of the industry. President and CEO of the National Association of Manufacturers, Jay Timmons, spoke at Waukesha County Technical College. Timmons said there needs to be immigration reform to address worker shortages, a restoration of the 2017 tax deductions to allow for more new machinery and research, tackling Chinese counterfeits, and reforming the permit process to help speed up projects. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new?
Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And they...
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Could you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke, Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to this fine program across the Civic Media airwaves here in the state of Wisconsin, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's near west side. For Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM, and around the state on your local Civic Media radio stations like locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids and so many more. Go check out the website civicmedia.us to see all of the fine coverage patterns we have here at Civic Media. It's a Friday afternoon, and I'm joined by William Walter for Little Wednesdays with Will on a Friday, the pre-weekend edition. Will, how you doing,
my friend? The absolute best kind of Wednesdays are always on a Friday.
Except when your Friday is a Wednesday. That's actually better, because then you got, like, what, a four-day weekend coming up? That means if Wednesday is your Friday?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
I never looked at it that way, but that's kind of profound.
That might be better.
You just changed the game.
I was going to say, yeah, I think it's better when a Friday is a Wednesday, but that's okay, because we're going to have an excellent show today, and we're really excited to kick around a few headlines, share our tangents, and have a little back and forth. I think we've got some arguing to do potentially here, Will, and arguing in the fun sense of the word, not really at each other's throats, but just making the case for which side's
a little
bit
better. Oh, I got to put this pitchfork away. Okay. Go ahead.
My tiki torch was put out before the start of the show. But folks, if you want to share a tangent with us here on a Friday afternoon, 844-967-2789. And let's start where I thought we were going to get to it a little bit later, but we've bumped it up into the show because I think it is an excellent topic of what is the most Wisconsin headline in the news this week. And Will, I've got three contenders. And if anybody out there in the listening audience wants to submit another one, they can try. But I think these are the top three, and we're going to argue which one is the most Wisconsin headline throughout the first portion of this show. So let's dive right into it, Will. You want to share yours from over at the Journal Sentinel?
I think this is a two-way race, first of all, in our little FMK version of Wisconsin headlines from the week. But I would like to nominate a story from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Laura Schulte, Beer and Booze Delivered to Your Home. It's possible under a new bill in the state legislature. Of course, I have to nominate home-delivered alcohol, because what is more Wisconsin than I'm having trouble getting access to my alcohol? Can someone please bring it to my front porch? Now, of course, the very first thing that came to my mind was, you know, how do you verify age? Because that's going to be a really big issue with this. And evidently, the Tavern League agrees with me, which is usually a statement that I don't find myself, like, saying or being proud of. But this is bipartisan. I do want to point that out. The bill's authors are Dewey Strobel and Kel DeRoyce. So this has, as well as Cindy Ducow and Lakeisha Myers, my apologies. So this does have a pretty broad support. Evidently, Wisconsin's only one of only 8 states in the country that prohibit online orders, which seems very un-Wisconsin.
No, I think that's it's like one of those things where the state of Wisconsin is also one of the ones that cuts you off at 9 p.m. to purchase alcohol. It's very on brand when we get restricted, because those restrictions are in place for a reason, Will.
It's like when when Philadelphia is in a championship game,
and they
my
start
apologies
green, yeah,
for
they
these
start...
last three for 3 major sports in the past year, Philly fans. But the city is like, guys, we got to do something to curb this, or we're going to lose our city tonight.
No, they grease the lampposts in anticipation. It's very similar to that, where they put rules and guidelines in place, like not selling alcohol beyond 9 p.m. and here in Wisconsin, and greasing the lampposts in Philadelphia so people don't climb them.
We can't trust our citizens, so we have to prepare accordingly.
Kind of, which is, I find this an interesting one, because I will agree, it's very Wisconsin. I don't know if it's the most Wisconsin headline this week, but the fact that we currently don't have a setup for individuals to have, we're one of 8 states that don't allow you to have alcohol delivered, is pretty interesting. I feel like most Wisconsinites are very well stocked up, though, and they don't really need it delivered. They just have the stockpile at their houses, and so I question.
When you have a full bar in your basement, it's hard not to be stocked.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. So I don't know if it's necessarily needed, but it's interesting to see the bipartisan support behind this proposal. And we'll continue on with that piece, but I want to jump over to my nominee of the most Wisconsin headline I saw this week, with over at the Wisconsin State Journal, written up by Barry Adams. Wisconsin places 9 cheeses into the top 20 at the U.S. Championship Cheese Contest. So almost 50% of the top 20 entries for best cheeses in the country, Wisconsin's got just shy of 50%. I think that's the most Wisconsin story this week, Will, because they're raking in the gold medals, too, outside of the top 20. They had the most gold medals in this competition. Got to go a little farther down into the Barry piece at the Wisconsin State Journal. But featuring total in the competition, it was a 3-day competition earlier this week, 2,249 entries from 35 states. But as usual, Wisconsin dairy producers once again crushed the competition. They took first place in 50 of the 113 categories and swept the top three spots in 22 of those categories. So that's got to be
thinking those.
That's the most
Wisconsin. I'm thinking those Wisconsin cows heard those California Cows Are Happy commercials and were like, hold up, I have something to say about that.
Exactly. So I think this is the most Wisconsin headline, just raking in the gold medals at the U.S. competition for cheese making. Come on, Will.
I want to point out, first of all, it wasn't just cheese. It was the nation's premier technical cheese, butter, yogurt, and dairy product competition. So it was all the above. And this is a very, very Wisconsin story as well, Luke. I'll grant you that. I mean, this is 1 and 1A, right? Both of these stories are very Wisconsin. But I had to go with the beer one.
You can agree that mine is 1A? Is that what you just said? This is 1A.
This is 1A. Well, I mean, I said it from the get-go that this was a two-horse race. The third story was not even close, in my opinion. But
well, it's an honorable mention.
I had to go with the beer story.
The third story is an honorable mention because it's not really a story. It's more of an interaction, and we'll get to that. But you really think the deliverable alcohol is more on brand for Wisconsin?
Here's why.
Lagging in it.
It's the very first line of the Wisconsin State Journal article. Wisconsin cheesemakers not only dominated the preliminary rounds of the U.S. Championship Cheese Contest, but will also have a good chance of winning it all, although the defending champ from Ohio also made the cut. Come on, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
A good chance of winning it all. This is our shtick, man. Beer, brats, and cheese. If we can't have this, what can... Ohio? Come on, Ohio?
I did. I that raised an eyebrow for me. But you're telling me that Wisconsin becoming the 43rd state to pass deliverable alcohol is a more Wisconsin story than Wisconsin raking in all these gold medals for cheese?
Look, man, I'm all about the W's, okay? And I see defending champ from Ohio. I just can't get over that we couldn't beat Ohio. Now, you did note New York, Pennsylvania, and Ohio each put two entries in the finals. Well, Wisconsin did have nine. So, like, from 30,000 feet, we had a stronger overall performance.
Yeah, we got the best chance.
But, man, I got to know what that one individual guy in Ohio is doing. And why hasn't the state of Wisconsin, like, recruited this guy? Like, this dude needs to be living in Ashwaubenon or something. Like, come on.
Maybe there's the ploy to do that. But competition is healthy, but I think I like the odds when 9 of the 20 entries are here in our home state. And I think that makes it the most Wisconsin story I've seen this week.
Hey, if you want to be the best, Luke, you got to beat the best. And right now we can't beat Ohio.
Last year we didn't beat Ohio. We'll have to wait to see.
Last year we couldn't
beat
Ohio.
We'll have to wait to see. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by William Walter. You're listening to the program across Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent, maybe a different story even, of what you believe was the most Wisconsin story you saw this week, 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. But, Will, an honorable mention, because it's pretty Wisconsin as well, and I just thought the entire interaction online was just too funny not to share. And so Green Bay Packer, Devondre Campbell, linebacker for the Green Bay Packers, we're in the offseason, no more football for quite a few months now. We're going to get a draft, I guess, in, what, 2 months? And April. There will be a lot of talk about that. The Aaron Rodgers watch 2023 is still going on. He came out of his dark cave. But this is probably...
Which was the top story, one of the top stories on ESPN, Luke. I want to point out how weird that is.
It's very weird. It's very, very weird. But I think this interaction is just very funny because Green Bay is pretty cold right now. A lot of our the Packers decide to go elsewhere during the offseason. They're on vacation. They're going to warmer destinations. But Devondre Campbell, linebacker for the Green Bay Packers, tweeted out earlier this week, "I finally went to the Hy-Vee in Green Bay for the first time. Easily the best grocery store I've ever seen in my life. I am going to think of a reason to go back again later today." And then Keyshawn Nixon, member of the Green Bay special teams, responded to the tweet, "Bro, go on vacation." And then Rasul Douglas, also on the defense, quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, said, like, "Why is he still there, bro?" with the laughing so hard they're crying emoji. And I think that this is just a very wholesome Wisconsin story. And seeing an interaction from the Green Bay Packers that deserved at least an honorable mention with our beer delivery and cheese making gold medalists this week for the most Wisconsin that I've seen. But again, folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by William Walter on a Friday afternoon. If you want to share those tangents before the weekend, 844-967-2789. We'll continue this debate and get to a few more Wisconsin headlines and a conversation about the politics unfolding in Ohio right now. 844-967-2789. Will, I think I won. I think the cheese story is the most Wisconsin.
Until they can take home that championship, I don't even want to hear about it, okay? This is a state of winners.
So the Packers just shouldn't come back either until they bring a Lombardi back?
Yeah.
Folks,
we're going to take that route. I got to take that route, then. I got to be consistent, sure.
You're listening to Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.
He's in charge. Boss, head man, top dog. Big cheese, a head honcho.
Captain. Looks like somebody forgot there's a rule against alcoholic beverages.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Even
know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Monday mornings at 8 on The Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 22. Northeast winds around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance for snow showers, lowest dip down to about 17. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 34. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by William Walter. You can join us on the phone lines, 844-967-2789, and call or text. Let us know what you think the most Wisconsin headline you saw this week was. Either Will's entry, the potential for alcohol to be delivered through a bipartisan bill making its way through the Wisconsin legislature right now, making the state the 43rd state to allow something like that. I do want to point that out. I think that's why it's not the most Wisconsin. Because
I liked beer. I still like beer.
Settle down, Brett.
Was that you or was that Evan?
Oh, that was Ev. Ev is always on top of that. Yeah.
He was hiding back there. He turned his camera off, so I didn't know for sure that was him or not. I think that makes it the... It's a very Wisconsin story, but it's not the most Wisconsin story. My entry being Wisconsin just raking in the gold medals and having 9 of the top 20 entries for best cheese in the United States. I think that's the most Wisconsin story, but...
I can't get over that we lost to Ohio, and I would like to edit my argument from before the break. The Packers did, in fact, beat the Browns on Christmas Day 2021 by 2 in a very close game that probably shouldn't have been that close, but we did beat Ohio. Okay. So they can stay because they didn't lose to Ohio. It's really, I just don't want to lose to Ohio.
The 2021, 2022 season, I believe we beat Cincinnati, but that was the game as well there. There was a bunch of back and forth.
Like
missed
5
field goals.
Missed kicks end. Yeah.
And I think a decent record. Let's not talk about the Badgers in Ohio State, though. That will be not as good of a record. But I think that you can't expect the state to win every single first place cheese medal every single year. Competition is healthy. I think, though, the fact that there are so many gold medals being won in all the different categories, and we have almost 50% of the entries for the top cheese, the big dog, that's the most Wisconsin headline.
I don't know, man. Like, when your state is, you have a thing that you are so known for that the rest of the world recognizes it. Like, have you seen those Twitter stories about when college students are vacationing in the Caribbean or in Mexico or something, and there's drinking competitions, and they're not allowed to compete if they have a Wisconsin driver's license, that kind of story. Like we are so known for beer and cheese that if we can't even take that home. I also do want to give a shout out. I went back to verify a little bit on the Devondre Campbell story, right? So Devondre Campbell went to school in Minnesota. He's prepared.
He's a gopher. Okay.
He's a gopher. He understands this weather. He knows what it's like. And Green Bay is obviously beautiful. Go talk to AJ Dillon about that.
Yeah.
The guy has embraced the Green Bay.
I'm surprised. He's probably up in Door County though right now.
He's in Door County
his,
for sure.
That's his vacation spot. He just goes up the Highway 57. He just goes up Highway 57 and is spending a bunch of time in the Door County.
Keyshawn Nixon's from California.
So that's why he's gone.
And understandable.
Rasul
Douglas was born in New Jersey and went to college in West Virginia. So, like,
hit or miss.
But from a weather perspective, they're all making plenty of money. Wisconsin's nicer than West Virginia. Come on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, but I think Wisconsin's the best state in the union. But the fact is, after you've played a professional season of football, why would you not go? I'm sure football players all over the country are going to warmer weather and enjoying their off seasons. Apparently not Devondre Campbell, though, and I thought it was a very Wisconsin story because I saw a lot of news about that Hy-Vee opening up in Green Bay. Like, it was a big deal, and so the fact that Devondre was up there, too, and enjoying it.
Did you see the comments on the tweet? Yeah, people are all saying, like, to be fair, bro, Hy-Vee is crazy.
Yeah, so to each their own, and that's how he's spending his offseason. Let's work a little Wisconsin headline into this segment. One of the things bouncing back, also very on brand for Wisconsin, like our Green Bay Packers, our alcohol consumption, and our cheese making, Wisconsin tourism. The industry is recovering faster than its neighboring states, but still struggling post-pandemic. This is a story I found, Will, over at WPRs.com, written up by Gabby Vinnick, and talking about how Wisconsin's tourism is bouncing back, getting back to the 2019 levels. We're doing better than our neighboring states, and I think it's important to point out that tourism is the state's, I believe, third largest
industry. That's what stunned me. I would not have thought that.
Yeah. So the fact that the Northwoods, the Wisconsin Dells, the Lake Michigan, the Mississippi River, we get a lot of tourism here in our state, and we are doing better than our neighbors when it comes to returning to pre-pandemic levels for what this industry is bringing into the state. So I think that's another thing to applaud, along with the cheesemaking potential for at-home delivery for alcohol, and a little interaction among the Green Bay Packers players.
So I think these stories kind of intertwine. When the average American thinks of, you know, like going up north and going fishing up north in the pristine, beautiful, uninhabited woods, I think Wisconsin's probably one of the first places that come to mind, right? I mean, Wisconsin residents, particularly of southern Wisconsin, still think that too. There's a certain mystique to northern Wisconsin. And I feel like I saw videos years and years ago about like Amazon delivery drones, and they were first testing this delivering of beer to ice fishers, shanties, type of thing. Like, right, you're out on the lake and you're like, boy, I could use a beer, but I don't want to leave the fishing hole. What do I do? So you would buzz into Amazon and they would have your local bar use one of the Amazon drones, pick up a six-pack, fly it out over the lake, and drop it to you. But, I mean, this was a couple of years ago already.
You gotta be careful with the dropping of them if they're bottles. But, yeah, that sounds vaguely familiar. But everything's related. That's why we talk about these things here on Dueling Tangents. Folks, that's what you're listening to. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday by William Walter. And you can join us on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. We're going to dive into a couple more updates about East Palestine, Ohio, coming up in the next segment, but plenty of time for your tangents. 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News brief. A year after Russia invaded Ukraine, Secretary of State Antony Blinken tells the U.N. Security Council the U.S. wants to see peace talks, but he has a warning for countries that support Russia.
Any peace that legitimizes Russia's seizure of land by force will weaken the charter and send a message to would-be aggressors everywhere that they can invade countries and get away with it.
Accused killer Alec Murdoch has testified about the timeline leading up to the murders of his wife and son.
You, as a lawyer and prosecutor, are up at 9:02, finally having your phone in your hand, moving around and making all these phone calls to manufacture an alibi. Is that not true?
That's absolutely incorrect.
CBS's Jill Schlesinger on a Fed report about income and spending.
The new report puts the Fed on track to raise interest rates again when it meets in March, at least by a quarter of a percentage point and perhaps by a half of a percentage point.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. An Army veteran from Wisconsin is dead after fighting in Ukraine. Andrew Peters was from Marshfield. His family says he died last week fighting with the International Legion. His parents tell Channel 13 in Eau Claire he went to Ukraine in November to use his military skills to help fight off the Russian invasion. The State Department says it's working to bring his remains back to Wisconsin. Look for a new and faster way to get between Chicago, Milwaukee, and the Twin Cities later this year. The Great River Route will offer a second daily round trip through Wisconsin. It's just as fast as the Empire Builder, but the advantage is that it would be more reliable. Wisconsin transportation officials are still working on extending the Hiawatha Route to Madison and Green Bay. In sports, the Bucks are back from the All-Star break. Milwaukee hosts Miami tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
The devil's advocates, because freedom.
But Don, we've been following a couple of big stories this week. Truck convoy leader has no idea where he is and is driving in circles around I-495. He didn't know precisely where he was going anyways or where he was at the time. Apparently, he put the convoy back on the road, headed back up north, and now he's back in Scranton. So
I totally would have protested this tyranny, but damn, the traffic was so bad.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by William Walter. You on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You're listening across Civic Media here in Madison for Mad Radio 92.7. The Shaw in Waukesha, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, and so many more. Go to the website, civicmedia.us. You can see the entire coverage map. You can see all the programming that we put out as well as the network. You can sign up to learn more. But, Will, we're discussing here the most Wisconsin headline you've seen this week. You're sticking to your guns with the on-brand for the potential for alcohol delivery here in Wisconsin. Bipartisan bill. We don't see those all too often. They're not as common as we would like to see around here.
But... You know, you're saying that we're one of eight states that do not currently have this, which is accurate. I think that's a benefit to why this story is more Wisconsin, because it's saying, Wisconsin, what are you doing? Like, how are you serious? Like, I'm more, I think I'm more embarrassed by that than losing to Ohio.
I don't know. You seem pretty adamant about losing to Ohio last year in the cheese making contest. I don't even know if we took second. I don't even know if we took second, though. So we could have been behind another state, too. Who knows? I'll have to look up the 2022 winners, and we'll have to see.
What, you don't know off the top of your mind? Were you not following?
Did you hear how many stations I just listed off for Civic Media? Come on, man. I've been busy. We're a busy team over here at Civic Media.
I don't think we gave credit either. I believe the championship itself is quite literally hosted in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I believe it's up in the Green Bay area.
Yeah, the Resch Expo Center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So our friends up at WGBW listening on air there in this competition right in your backyard. And I believe that's the most Wisconsin headline. Also, the interaction the Green Bay Packers. I almost said Wisconsin Badgers. But Green Bay Packers had about a trip Devondre Campbell took to the new Hy-Vee in Green Bay. I think that's pretty on brand as well. There's a little Iowa into that story, though. Hy-Vee, I believe, is an Iowa-based grocery store. So maybe not the most Wisconsin story when you take that into account. But let's head over to the phone lines because we got some callers calling in now, maybe sharing their opinion on what the most Wisconsin headline they saw was this week. We got Dick and Madison calling in. Dick, what's on your mind today?
Oh, it's more of a rant. Once again, proving how Donald Trump gets everything wrong. I remember reading about his wine that he had years back and that it was just awful. It was Catamount to vinegar with red dye in it and maybe 6 months old at best. But then he gives you aged water. Yeah, I thought it was wine you were supposed to age and water is supposed to be fresh. This guy is a piece of work. But, no, I agree with you guys about Wisconsin, too, and the place to go, or when you think of going north to go fishing and all the rest, or Minnesota. But for a real good friend of mine, I always good-naturedly, you know, when are you going to take that 10,000 lakes off your license plate? And he goes, why? I said, well, the only reason you have 10,000 is you guys count every roadside puddle. I mean, there's at least 10,000 lakes in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it's more, actually. I believe Wisconsin has more lakes than Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we got 14,000 roughly.
Yeah. But no, I really got a kick out of this week, Trump on that ridiculous tour down there. First of all, I don't even know why anybody covers it. He's not president. And he really had no business going there.
Well, he's got all the time on his hands in the world, Dick. And we're going to get into a little debate between Will and I. And I apologize to cut you off there, Dick. We're going to talk about that, but let's squeeze in one more caller before we jump to that tangent. We got Annie in Watertown calling in. Annie, what's on your mind today?
Maybe there's a lot of people coming to Wisconsin because they heard what the Republicans have been doing, and they're afraid there won't be such a nice place to visit coming up. But I'm confused. I don't know. Was it big government taking over? Because in the late 70s, we used to have deliveries in Watertown. I don't know. The liquor store and the cab service were sort of out of the same building or business. And we used to get a case of Leinenkugels delivered to our place a couple times a week.
That sounds unheard of to me, Annie. I don't know when it would have went out of style then, or what law was passed to prevent it. But in Colorado once on vacation, I was in a liquor store purchasing some alcohol, and there was a drive-through window, so individuals could just drive up to the liquor store in Colorado and get what they wanted, just hand it to them through the window. They put it in the back of the car and they leave. So that's. There's some interesting things that states do out there, and this would be apparently something Wisconsin would be catching up to other states, being one of only 8 that don't allow for it. But speaking of the tourism, more people coming to Wisconsin, I don't think it's that they want to get here before Republicans ruin it all. I'm not going to say that the tourism industry is just going to falter if Republican control takes over. We have a Republican-led legislature. I think it just goes to show that the efforts put by the Evers administration, our governor here in Wisconsin, to make sure that tourism, being the third largest industry in the state, bouncing back to the pre-pandemic levels at the rate that they have, just goes to show the work that he's been doing is working, because he's been allocating grants, he's been focusing on small businesses, and trying to make sure that from the bottom up, we have a bounce back here in Wisconsin to get back to where we were before the pandemic. We appreciate you.
That's a great point, Luke. His proposed budget looks to secure $33.6 million in state funding for marketing to promote the state, as well as investing $30 million to recruit large-scale events to Wisconsin. I mean, you know, we can discuss the merits of whether we want the RNC here, but at the end of the day, that's going to be a massive financial influx into the city of Milwaukee. The Dem convention in 2020, obviously COVID ruined that, unfortunately. Particularly for me as a delegate, I think that would have been a lot of fun in my home state. But
you're not bitter
at all. A lot of money coming to the town, like, you know, you can't put a price on that.
Yeah,
you could, but it's hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah. So metaphorically, you can't put a price on that, I guess.
Yeah, the people find a way to put a price tag to it, but something else that people have been finding out what the price tag will be, because there's a lot of cleanup efforts now underway in Ohio. But East Palestine, Ohio, where this train derailment happened, the governor, Mike DeWine, I believe is – DeWine is the last name. I believe his first name.
Mike DeWine.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much authorized the control burn that occurred of the chemicals on the train to prevent a giant explosion that would have been even more catastrophic. Initially – would not accept federal help, and I believe still has not declared an official emergency there in East Palestine. But, well, a lot of people are discussing the politics of how this is going to unfold, and in preparing for the show today, for Dueling Tangents, which, folks, you are listening to across Civic Media, I'm Luke Mathers, joined by William Walter on this Friday afternoon. As we prepared for the show, you and I kind of are coming at this from two different angles, because I don't know if the scale of the response that you think there should have been is necessarily what was required for this situation. You noting Donald Trump, as mentioned in an earlier call, traveled to East Palestine earlier this week and was seen at a McDonald's throwing out Make America Great Again hats, and visiting the town of about 5,000, and claiming that, well, it's this terrible thing the Biden administration did. Terrible, terrible thing. And really, I think it's interesting how this is being covered, because I don't think it's the giant shining example that Trump's going to be able to use to get reelected. But you have a different perspective, Will.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of modern politics today it's PR, right? It's media relations. It's how you're able to build your brand as a politician. And I'm seeing it throughout conservative accounts on Twitter, both in terms of Wisconsin employed, you know, with GOP type conservative accounts, as well as national accounts, that, oh, Donald Trump went to East Palestine, where's Biden, where's Biden, where's Biden type deal. Trump's going to McDonald's. Like you said, he's tossing around signed hats. He's being funny again when he comes up to the register and says, I know this menu better than you do. Like, average Americans are going to see that and be like, oh, he's just like me. He's a regular Joe. There was that clip of, Trump surrounded by reporters in East Palestine, and you hear, we love you, President Trump, behind him. Now, East Palestine, I do believe, voted about 70% for Donald Trump, so that would be considered a pretty safe community from an electoral perspective. But I think you can't undervalue the optics of just being there, because most Americans, you know, people like you and I and people who follow Dueling Tangents, we have a pretty good grasp on why this situation occurred, essentially deregulation that the Trump administration was one of the single biggest driving forces of. But if the average American doesn't know that, all they're going to see is, why did this former president show up to this catastrophic ecological disaster while the current president is nowhere to be seen? I think it's a really, really bad look.
And do you think that the president has to go to every single train derailment? Like, this is a travesty. for the community of East Palestine, Ohio. This is a tragedy, and it should not have happened. But do you think it's the responsibility of the president to go and attend to the in my opinion, there's not a whole lot. Yes, it would be PR. It would be a media visit for the president to go and respond there. But it doesn't mean that the Biden administration is any less serious about addressing what led to this instance and the cleanup of it, whether or not Biden goes.
You know, again, you're not wrong in the sense that if the U.S., if the sitting U.S. president were to go to every single train derailment across the United States, they literally could not do anything else. We have thousands of train derailments every year, multiple a day. This would be
That would be the entirety of their schedule. They've increased as well in recent years since regulations were rolled back during the Trump administration. So there's been even more of them.
Yeah, and that doesn't play well for the argument of American infrastructure needs help. So maybe let's do something about this. But this situation is unique because of the attention that this story has garnered. And I think that comes from two angles, both in the sense that it was obvious that originally the media blackout in the area was trying to suppress this story, which Americans love a good conspiracy. They see a story being repressed, that it's the Streisand effect. They want to see it amplified even more now. Oh, what are you trying to hide? Why are you trying to prevent us from learning about this? This story has garnered, you know, not just national attention, but world attention. The images were so profound of this massive gas cloud rising up through the heartland of the United States. I'm not expecting the president to go to every single train derailment. Again, that would be absurd. But modern politics is a lot about the brand and about the image that you are portraying because so few Americans genuinely follow the issues. And this particular story has become a national story because of how, frankly, grotesque it is. I mean, pets in neighboring communities 25 to 50 miles away are dropping dead. Young children with asthma or other breathing-related issues have been forced to leave their home. The images of the rivers and the streams, the drinking water, it's poisoned. We literally poisoned an American community. And to not receive the kind of attention that I think our leaders should be giving, and then to not only not appear yourself, but to allow your rival, who quite literally contributed to this.
I mean, yes,
to be there first.
He is a Republican candidate for president in 2024. So I guess you could say it that way. But if Donald Trump wants to tie himself to this story, I don't think that's politically beneficial to him. If there is any semblance of some good ad makers out there, you take the 2016 clips, the 2017 clips, the 2018 clips of Donald Trump saying, "I'm the best president for deregulation ever." And then you tie it to this story because that's what led to this instance in East Palestine, Ohio. And so if Donald Trump wants to go with open arms and tie himself to this story more, I mean, by all means, let him do it. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by William Walter. We're going to continue this conversation, move in a few more, maybe train-related headlines, and your calls, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. You can also tweet the show at Dueling Tangents. One more segment left of the day, and then the weekend. We'll be right back.
Just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. always on the Civic Media app.
As goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes, future runs. I guess, not now.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again.
Yeah.
I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many ice augers and fishing shanties are being bought as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for scattered snow showers tonight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows dip down to about 17. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 34. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night. Lows around 21. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by William Walter. This one goes out to you, Will, because you were singing it, and then you're like, what song is that? And then we get to figure it out.
Ev wasn't even there for that. Like, he didn't even hear that joke, and he just was prepared with the song anyways.
Oh, no. I was prepared for the song. I told Ev to play.
Oh, you did? Yeah, oh, yeah, all right. I got to give you the shout-out then, Luke. Well done. Well played.
Thank you, sir. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Joined on the Friday afternoon by William Walter. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. You could be like Pat in Milwaukee. Pat, what's on your mind this Friday afternoon?
Hey, well, good afternoon, guys. I just want to correct some information about the visit up to Trump by to East Palestine, Ohio. The Trumpanzee mayor there, the two-faced guy, told MSNBC in an interview a few days before Trump visited that he didn't want Biden to come because it would just be too much of a distraction to have the president there, and they were too busy with cleanup and other concerns. So when Trump shows up, he makes a big display of how Trump is there and why is Biden in Kyiv. It was the most two-faced thing I'd ever seen from a public official in recent days or years. I just could not believe it. A few days before, he literally said, don't come, Biden. You're just going to be a distraction. And then he lambasted Biden for not being there when Trump was there. It was breathtaking. And he should be, you know, pillared for that. He's a Trumpanzee.
Well, we appreciate that call, Pat. And yeah, I mean, that is an important aspect as well of presidential visits when tragedy strikes. The cleanup efforts and the security details that is required for the president of the United States to travel to an area like that takes a lot of legwork. There's a lot of things that go into that. And so, yeah, it absolutely would remove resources of first responders, officials, law enforcement, everybody would be diverted for a presidential visit like that. So, yeah, it's really easy for individuals over at Fox News and Newsmax and OAN to act like this is the end of the world, that the president is not there. But it's baffling to me that they don't tie in the story about how the conditions for the rail industry that were rolled back during the Trump administration led to this tragedy. They want to play up this tragedy and act like it's Biden's fault, that it's Buttigieg's fault that this train was derailed, when in reality, we know that the conditions in the rail industry, because of efforts directly by rail lobbyists to deregulate the industry that Trump welcomed in his administration, led to these conditions. And so, yeah, I think it's a very important story to be talking about. I don't think it's going to be such a story that it is going to alter the makeup of the 2024 race that we're going to be underway in soon. And
you know this as well as I do, Luke, that reality is not – reality is what you make of it, right? Of course the Republicans are going to refrain from the truth of the situation, which is that Trump's deregulation quite literally caused this incident. But it, like you talked about before the break, if Trump wants to tie himself to this story, fine, it would be really easy to make ads – quite literally quoting himself as being, you know, the king of derailment,
there was
or deregulation, excuse
There was a
me.
Press conference that he held in the White House in 2017 with himself next to a giant stack of paper from 1960 and present day, and he was cutting the figurative red tape. Like
cutting the literal red tape. They put a red banner across and
had him cut it. It's figurative there still. There wasn't any actual regulations on those pieces of paper. I'm sure they were just reams of empty, blank, white sheets of paper that were just there for a political prop. But it is, in my opinion, it would be way too easy to slam Trump for his actions that led to these circumstances. So if he really wants to tie himself to East Palestine, I get it. He is going to see his own voters, as you pointed out, 70% voting for him in 2020. It is his people. He will absolutely go to a McDonald's and throw out MAGA hats like he was throwing out paper towels responding to a hurricane in Puerto Rico. But it is not, I believe, the political winner that some individuals think that he's going to be able to tie his campaign to. And so I'm saying I welcome it. I welcome Trump tying his name to this story because I do not think it will be an effective strategy for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the people on the right support the deregulation anyways. Won't hurt him in that regard. People on the left are aware that deregulation led to this. It won't hurt. He's not getting their votes anyway, so that won't impact anything. What's going to matter is the vast majority of Americans who aren't very well tuned to the politics of the day. Do they follow it close enough? Do they recognize the hypocrisy? Do they care about the hypocrisy, even if a strong ad campaign is put out mentioning that he was the one who, you know, quote unquote, cut the red tape? I think it's interesting, too, Luke, the article you found noting his press conference from 2017. Do you see any parallels to what's going on with the Wisconsin legislature and all of their tweets over the past couple of weeks with Evers' bill? It's the exact same thing. The stack of Evers' giant bill next to the tiny stack they want to put forth, and they're like, "Oh, we're trying to make the government easier and all that." And it's so disingenuous.
Oh yeah, and it's reused political theater, and they fail to mention in all of those posts, it's saying all of the things that you'd miss out on as a government service for the very, very tiny stack that they have. They want a flat tax that would put $1 billion holes into our state funding, and that would provide less dollars for roads, for schools, for infrastructure, for everything. Pensions, everything would be subject to hits because of a flat tax, which is what the Republican proposal here in Wisconsin is. Will, real quick before the end of the show here, one story about a train that I think is very exciting to talk about. And I think really, really cool that it could be as soon as this year. But a headline over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I just lost it as I pulled it up. I lost the headline.
I got you. Corey Hess. New Amtrak line connecting Chicago, Milwaukee, and the Twin Cities could start this year. Here's what we know.
There we go. So an Amtrak line between Chicago and Minneapolis throughout Wisconsin could be coming with a $53 million project that's been in the works since 2015. So a little good news story when it comes to trains on that one. Could be in service for a second daily run by the end of this year.
It's going to go through Milwaukee, the Dells, La Crosse. You know, we talk about tourism. The Dells is still one of the kings of the Midwest from a tourist perspective. My parents took us there when I was a child all the time. You can't beat it. America's largest indoor water parks.
There you go. Water park capital of the world. Really appreciate you, Will, joining me on this Friday afternoon. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. Click on the Dueling Tangents tab. We'll be back on Monday at 2 p.m. Have an excellent weekend. See you all then.
Peace out.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the ad.
You are listening to WAUK 5.